In the name of God, the Creator, God, the Redeemer, and God, the Holy Spirit. In our gospel this morning, we read that Jesus prayed for his disciples. Now, as I began to work on my sermon for today, I started to wonder what that was all about. My curiosity got the better of me, so I Googled Jesus praying in the gospels. And lest you think I'm a really sharp scripture scholar, I actually got hundreds of hits on that short phrase. And as it turns out, Jesus is portrayed as a person of prayer throughout all four canonical Gospels. Let's consider some of his prayers. It all starts with his baptism in Luke chapter 3, after which Jesus begins praying before the Holy Spirit descends on him in the form of a dove. Later in Luke chapter 5, we read that he would withdraw to deserted places and pray. Then in the first chapter of Mark's gospel, after a series of healing miracles, we are told that Jesus got up early in the morning when it was still dark and went out to a deserted place to pray. Jesus is recorded as praying prior to walking on water in the gospel of Matthew, Mark, and John. In the gospel of Luke, he's portrayed as praying before choosing the 12 in chapter 6. Before Peter's confession that he is the Messiah and just prior to his transfiguration, both in chapter 9, before his teaching his disciples the Lord's Prayer in chapter 11, and then we are told that Jesus prayed that Simon Peter's faith would not fail in chapter 22. In the Gospel of John, we find Jesus praying before the raising of Lazarus from the dead, and praying, "Father, glorify your name," after his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Then we have chapter 17, which we read a portion of today, which is essentially one very long prayer for his disciples and those who will come to believe in him through their witness, which, of course, includes all of us gathered in his name today. The Synoptic Gospels each recall how Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, as well as at his last on the cross. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. My God, why have you forsaken me? Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." In addition to all of this, Jesus said grace before the feeding of the multitudes at the Last Supper, and finally at the supper at Emmaus. So initially, I wondered if to some extent this meant that Jesus was sort of talking to himself, since he is fully human and fully divine. But then it occurred to me that he was raised in a traditional and loving extended Jewish family. He was obviously well-versed in the Hebrew scriptures. And based on both of those things, he would have been naturally disposed to prayer. Prayer for Jesus almost always seems to include presence with and attention to the divine. When Jesus engages in prayer, he places himself deliberately and consciously in the presence of God, or in his case, the other two persons of the Trinity. Jesus reorients his physical self by going off to deserted places, or going up on a mountain, or by simply looking up to heaven. Then once he has placed himself in the presence of divine love, he simply attends to what that love is imparting to him and what that love would have him impart to others. Beyond this conscious and deliberate way of relating to the other two persons of the Trinity, this is the way in which Jesus relates to his disciples, those he heals, those he challenges, and yes, even all of us. His prayer allows him to be present with and attentive to God, to himself, and to others. That, my friends, is the whole point of today's lesson, as Jesus prays for his disciples and us, while on this last Sunday of Easter, he is essentially saying farewell. Today, I hear Jesus inviting his disciples and us to think about how well we do with being present with and attentive to God, to ourselves, and to one another. How much time and energy are we willing and able to put into each one of those relationships? How well are we doing with setting aside time for prayer, reflection, and service to the world? To close, let me quote from Sister Joan Chittister's book, Insight for the Ages, in which she writes, "Spirituality depends on listening for the voice of God everywhere in life, especially in one another and here." An ancient tale from another tradition tells that a disciple asked the Holy One, "Where shall I look for enlightenment?" "Here," the Holy One said. "When will it happen?" "It is happening right now," the Holy One said. "Then why don't I experience it?" "Because you do not look," the Holy One said. "What should I look for?" "Nothing," the Holy One said. "Just look." "At what?" "Anything your eyes alight upon," the Holy One said. "Must I look in a special kind of way?" "No," the Holy One said, "the ordinary way will do. But don't I always look the ordinary way?" "No," the Holy One said, "you don't." "Why ever not?" the disciple demanded. "Because to look, you must be here," the Holy One said. "You're mostly somewhere else." Amen. Thank you.